Following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang. Yes, guess what time it is? It is time for the True Wealth Radio Show, and this is the greatest Tuesday you've had all week. I am your host, Dave Littlejohn. Joining me in studio today is
Matt Dixon. David, is this the best Tuesday you've had ever?
I don't know if I...
What about the best Tuesday you've had all week?
Easily the best Tuesday I've had
good.
All week. Without question, in fact. That's funny. My kids do this to me all the time. They're like, hey, Dad, you know, what's your favorite color? Or what's your favorite this or favorite that? And I'm like, easy there, cowboy. I'm
favorite.
Just not a big
favorite
fan of favorites.
Is it just too strong of a word for you?
Yeah. It's like that. Well, I don't know if I can handle that kind of commitment. So
that's funny.
Yeah. No, I'm just cautious about favorites because they change, right? So I don't speak in absolutes like that very often. Plus, I call it an occupational hazard.
Right.
Right. The occupational hazard is, you know, we live in this world where we can't really make guarantees like that. So I don't. anyway, well, look, today, Matt, what have we got on tap? I feel like we have been on a roll. Last week, we were talking about AI and how that is playing a role in financial advice these days. And today, what are we thinking?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the show that's focusing on, hey, you know, like you said last week, it was this show about like kind of the robo-advisor and the do-it-yourself landscape, right? And I think we're trying to maybe take that a step further of saying, okay, well, if it's not like a robo-advisor and you have a real person that you're working with, what are some of the questions that you need to maybe ask them? Or maybe you say it a different way and like, what are the things that actually matter? Like, what are the conversation pieces that can benefit you as the listener? Like, what do you actually need to know? And so I think when we were looking through this, one of the ones that jumped out at me was, hey, like, is your IRA a ticking time bomb? Right? There's other ways that you could say it. I think, you know, when we talked earlier, one of your things was like, is maybe you have too much of a good thing, right? Like,
yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit today about like, what are some of the gotchas with an IRA? Because I think one of the things that we've been told and educated on is like, well, go get a good job and then put money in your retirement account and it'll all work out. But what if there's more to the story than that?
There's so often more to the story than that. You know, I was looking and I was surprised when I realized that we had more than 10 years worth of radio show history.
Right.
Somehow the time flew by and we've been doing this show now for over 10 years. And that in and of itself surprised me. But I look back on what's the theme of what has really been propagated and what are we trying to talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I use this term we. I mean, I've had a lot of guests on the show. I mean, some people are like, you know, what, do you have a mouse in your pocket? Like, no, I mean, like, Matt's here with me, but we've had other folks that have been on the show over the years. And there's a couple things that are really standout elements to this. And don't worry, we're going to get to IRA, but I just want to set the table for everybody here. What are we trying to do with this program? The first thing was understand the concept of wealth. I think it's really an abused concept, right? Because a lot of people just think wealth means like, I got to make bank, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be about like making dollars and that's it. And that's a measurement, right? The financial resources you have are part of wealth. But I've always tried to take the position that wealth is a lot bigger than that, right? It's the quality of life elements that are at play here. I think that wealth is really about experiences and relationships and building memories, because that's what money facilitates, right? Money mm-hmm. in the bank is pretty useless. It's what you can do with the money that matters.
Right.
Right. And so it facilitates things. And so we talk about, well, how do you be good stewards of that money? That's what this show is about. And then it became, well, I don't particularly like selling things to people. I like solving problems. If the problem solves something and it's, you know, mutually aligns everybody, awesome, right? But I've realized that we teach on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but teaching's kind of interesting because you got a couple things going on here, right? We've got, okay, well, some people are going to do it themselves. And so we're going to teach them so that they can go take these skills and apply them.
Yep.
Other people, what they're really doing is saying, I just want to find somebody that can help me. And so They're looking for that personality match and who has the skills and the tools and the personality match to help them.
Yeah.
And so when I think about this show, we talk a lot about all kinds of different topics. Today, I think what you're suggesting and what I like the idea of is, can we, let's just pick a thing that most people have or will have if you've ever invested in a retirement plan.
Right.
And that is IRAs. And let's kind of take
AKA
a deeper dive.
Like maybe even you have a workplace 401k and that might be eligible to be rolled over into an IRA once you leave.
So let's do this. I like the idea. We're going to use this today and we're going to make this show a lot more about IRA specifically today and how this stuff works because so many people have them. And I think we're going to blow up some misunderstandings today, right? I don't want you to think for a second IRAs are bad. But what I do think is that for a lot of people, there's an old expression, right? If the only thing you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes IRAs can be treated that way. So we're going to have a little bit more precision in our understanding of IRAs. So I hope you guys stick around and listen today and as we unpack some of this. So now I took all of that, you know, prep work we did, Matt, and really like over-explained it.
Yeah.
But the whole time bomb thing... it's a feature, or it's an element of IRAs.
Yeah.
I guess it's a feature. I think features are good.
Well,
right, and I don't know that this is necessarily good.
Yeah,
it's like, well, you have an IRA long enough, or any retirement plan where you haven't paid taxes, you own it long enough, and the IRS says, enough, man, you're paying me.
They want to get paid at some point, right? If you defer taxes over and over and over again. They're like, at some point, you have to pay us. And I think that's why they started this whole RMD thing, required minimum distribution.
Yeah.
And it starts at 73. And whether you need the money or not, they're going to say, hey, it's time to take it out.
You ever thought about why that happens that way?
I mean, yeah, if you keep deferring taxes, right, and then your heirs get it and they keep letting it grow and they defer taxes, that thing could go for how long? An infinite amount of time in theory without getting taxed.
Right.
And the government doesn't operate that way.
Right.
They got to make money to provide all the services that you use, right? And so they got to get their hands on it at some point and they say, well, once you turn 73, that money needs to start coming out and they gradually ratchet that amount up as a percentage every year to get you to start pulling money out.
Yeah. I like to explain this as the government is, they don't typically tax things twice. There are some circumstances when they do.
Right. Just tax things like three times.
Yeah. I mean, the state of Oregon, this one actually kind of gets to me. It's like, hey, if you overpay your taxes, right, then you've paid money in that you already paid taxes on. Right. And now they pay it back to you as a refund and then they count it as income the following year and make you pay taxes on it. And I'm like, I'm not a fan of that. Right.
Wow.
That feels like double taxation to me.
Wow.
Maybe there's a CPA somewhere that can straighten me out. But as far as I can tell, you've overpaid the government and then they send a kicker refund back because of the way the budgetary process works. And they say, well, that is income to you now. So wait. I gave you money that I wasn't supposed to give you, and you give it back to me and then make me pay taxes on it. Is that my understanding? Ah, yes, that is the understanding.
If you're, maybe drop a comment if you're watching this live and you know something we don't.
What am I missing here?
Right.
But normally the government only taxes things once. And so the phrase is they get you on the way in or they get you on the way out. Right. If you're thinking to yourself, what about like an annuity? You know, you already paid the taxes on the way in and then, you know, they make you pay on the way out. It's like, well, that's a split ticket event. Right. The only time that you pay on the way in, but not on the way out is if it's qualified, I think, is a Roth. Right. Everything else, like once you paid the taxes, it's kind of done. Now, interestingly, if there's growth, you might be taxed on the growth because that's money that was produced with money that after you paid the taxes, then the growth hasn't been taxed yet.
Mm-hmm.
It may be deferred,
right?
But they're still coming to get it at some point. But IRAs are an interesting animal, right? So what we know is the government allows us to treat them essentially like an expense or like an deduction up front. So it lowers the amount that you pay in taxes by removing it from the tax equation. But then in the future, when you take the money out, they reinsert the money into the tax equation then. And that's really how tax deferral works.
Did you know that like right now in the United States, estimates are that it's about 80% of all the money that is held in retirement like assets is in tax deferred accounts?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. And you know,
like, what does that say about like everyone wants the tax break today, right? And so we're not really utilizing the Roth nearly as much as we're utilizing, you know, traditional.
The theory has always been that in retirement you pay everything off and then you reduce the amount of money that you're living off of.
Right.
Right. So you don't have a mortgage and the kids aren't at home anymore and so
but
forth.
But is
so
that reality anymore?
Well, I mean, it is for some, right? It's always kind of what's your use case, right? Everybody's mileage varies.
Sure.
But the whole idea is, well, I may as well, when I'm in a higher tax bracket, get the benefit of reducing tax exposure. And then in the future, I should be in a lower tax bracket. And when I take the money out, I'll pay less in tax.
Yeah.
And I should be gaining in efficiency.
So,
but
maybe,
yeah, you kind of hit the nail, didn't you? Like, yeah. Wait a second. Does it always work that way?
No.
No.
Well, and then the other thing is, like, what if you're saving a ton and your IRA is growing to a sizable portion? Like, what's that magic number, right? Like, where if you get so much in there and it's compounding, that now your RMDs as a number.
You know why I'm doing this, Matt?
Why is that?
Look at the clock.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Are we at the first break already?
So this is hilarious. I want everybody to stick around. This is such a weird thing. What if your IRA, like, do you think that there's a spot where we could actually say, hey, if it's X number or otherwise, you need to have analyzed this thing?
Well, there has to be if the tax brackets are fixed, right?
That's the theory, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to grab our break. Stick around. When we come back, then we're going to unpack this idea of, how much should you or shouldn't you have in an IRA?
But, perfect.
Break first. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Segment 2, where Matt, we're talking about IRAs today.
Yep.
And like, we really are going to do kind of a deeper dive than typical. We talk about a lot of stuff, but why IRAs? Probably the most common thing that people have. You may not even have one yet, but you probably will, right?
Yeah.
If you have any kind of retirement plan through your workplace.
Yeah.
Right? Because you typically, unless it's a pension, you often end up with something that you will decide that you want to take control of when you exit employment someday. And the way that you typically do that is to do what's known as a rollover, where you're going to roll out of the employer plan into a plan that you are in control of. And the most common vehicle for that is a traditional IRA.
Right.
So some of the things you should know about IRAs, these are common things that everybody should know about. One, they are known as defined contribution plans.
Do you want to elaborate on that just a little bit more so that people
know
what
that means? Well, like a pension plan is a defined benefit. Your retirement benefit is structured. You know how much it's going to pay you, right?
Right.
A defined contribution plan, you don't know how much it's going to pay you. You know how much you're allowed to put in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So employer retirement plans are usually a percentage of your income up to a dollar cap. You know, you can't put $1 million into a retirement plan. Typically, that's not going to work, especially in a defined contribution plan. Much lower limits. I think right now, if you are under the age of 50 and you are in an employer-sponsored plan like a 401k, the maximum aggregate amount for 2024 at least was $69,000 between employer and employee contributions. Still a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like $1 million. Right. And
right.
It's not like you've seen a defined benefit plan where people may put several hundred thousand dollars away into a retirement plan. And obviously, you got to be a high enough earner to do something like that. A lot of our listeners are probably rolling their eyes going, yeah, it must be nice. I said, yeah, must be. Right. But anyway, for a lot of us, though, you're going to have some kind of employer employer-sponsored retirement plan. Some of the common ones, 401ks,
yeah,
403b, which is sort of like the nonprofit version of 401k.
Okay? Correct.
And then if you're in government, you might see a 457 plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's also typically, sometimes they are deferred compensation plans, but they generally track a lot like a 401k does as well. The features include potentially an employer match. So you put money in, the employer may match some of it as well. Sometimes there's profit sharing structures to these. There are also plans like a SEP plan, S-E-P, so Simplified Employer Pension Plan.
Yeah.
And then the Simple IRA, right? So all of these are plans that you may see. And there are some other ones that we don't see as much of any longer. You know, you don't see like... a Keogh plan, I think is what it was called. They don't make them anymore. They might still, a few legacy plans in existence, but they're not very many of them anymore. And you get real specialty stuff like 412i and some of those unusual things, which are just specialty versions of defined benefit plans using fixed insurance products. And who cares, right? All of these letters come from the IRS, basically. It's different sections of the tax code that sort of lay out the rules for the plans. I don't need you to memorize those things. Right, that's what Google's for, and that's what your professionals are supposed to do for you. But nevertheless, you get the idea. All of these different plans, what do they have in common? The vast majority, you put money into it, and then it's tax deferred. It lowers your income, and then someday in the future, when you take the money out, you pay the taxes.
Right, and when we left off at the break, the cliffhanger was how much money is too much money to have in an IRA. Right? Mm-hmm. Because we were talking about like, hey, you know, you might be jumping into a different tax bracket when it comes time to take your RMD.
Right.
And so that was kind of the big question mark when we left was, can you have too much in there? And what does that mean, you know, for your taxes?
Yeah.
And I ChatGPT'd it.
Oh, look at you.
While we were on the break.
Single or married is the first question.
Well, I didn't specify. I just said, you know, how much money do you think it is? Where you kind of cross the threshold where you start to jump out of that 12%-ish tax bracket.
Oh, right? So you're just going the 12%?
Yeah, I just said...
there's a pretty big gap. You go 10%, 12%, 22%.
See, and I was like, I wanted to know that... I'm glad you brought that up. How much could you have max in that IRA before you start to bump yourself out of the 12%?
Okay, and I like 22? This question.
Okay.
It's, yeah, so go on.
And it came up with... around $500,000 to $600,000 is about the max that you can have before some of your money starts to trickle over into that 22% bracket.
I'm curious how that math worked out. Let's do this. Will you explain to our listeners the general parts of that calculation so that, you know, can we break it apart so that it makes
sense?
Well,
basically it was saying like, you know, what would your gross income have to be for the year, right? And then it's looking back and saying, well, how much standard deduction do you have? And then how much taxable income can you have to fill up that bucket before it starts to get into the next one? So it looked at tax brackets, and it basically said if you have $500,000 in an IRA and you're 73 years old, so 73 is that magic number where RMDs kick on.
Yep.
And it said, well, based on $500,000 in year one, your RMD would be about $18,870. And then it factored, well, let's assume that you're taking Social Security somewhere in that $30,000 to $50,000 range. And it just started adding everything together. And it said, right, well, this is kind of the number that you can hit roughly, right? These are not hard numbers. This is just estimates.
Yeah, I would actually argue right out of the gate that if you have $500,000 in your IRA, you're great. Like, and if you had $1 million in your IRA, you're still great. You do not have too much money in the IRA for it to be a problem. What happens is, what happens if you had like $5 million in your IRA?
Mm.
So let's just do some really cowboy math together.
Let's
right?
do it.
In when you're 73 years old, the required distribution is approximately 3.7%. I think it's 3.77% if you do the table calculation. It's like 1/26. And so if we look at that and say, well, let's keep the math easy, 3.25%. Then for every $100,000 that I have in an IRA, I have to take out $3,750, right? So for $1 million, I have to take out $37,750 if I have $1 million in the account. Now, when I look at the married joint tax tables, top of the tax table for 2025 is $96,950.
And that's what this was saying too, okay. Yeah.
So, and you're going to get a standard deduction of, I think, $31,500. And let's not consider the extra $6,000 bump right now.
That gives you 60.
Yeah. So that takes you from 96,950 down to about, what, 65? Let's just call it 65,000. So you have a 37,000 required distribution. That pretty much pushes you right back up to the top of the 12% bracket and cresting into the 22%.
Mm-hmm.
So at $1 million, if you, it's going to be as much as your standard deduction. It's actually going to be greater than your standard deduction. Then the question is, do you have any other income sources?
Yeah, that's the part that's that really muddies the water, right? Because when we're looking at it, say your Social Security is $50,000, right? Yeah. And then you tack, I think you were saying numbers based on $1 million
mm-hmm.
with about $37,000. Yeah, so like right there, you're at what, 87?
Mm-hmm.
You're already almost at the top end of this thing. And so it's like you throw a pension in there and it's like, wow, your $1 million isn't, like you're about to start jumping tax brackets pretty quick.
Yeah, so that's the real key is, well, what about Social Security? What about other things? Because if you have a pension or anything else as part of your income equation, then all of a sudden your IRA is a bigger issue, right? Now, that's on a $1 million IRA, we're talking about $37,000. So what if you have a $3 million IRA?
Oh, man.
Right? It's over $100,000 of required distribution. So that automatically puts you over the 12%, even if you had no other income.
Here's the sad thing. And I'm sure you've seen this. You've been doing this way longer than I have. I've seen it multiple times where people come in and they're like, I'm in such great shape. I'm doing, you know, everything's perfect. I've got, you know, $2 million in this IRA. But then they want to start, you know, taking a big expense out to go do something. And it's like, well, you just drove yourself up into a pretty high tax bracket. Are you okay with that? And they're like, no, I can't believe this is happening. They just had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
They had no clue.
So, yeah. That's,
I think
it's,
you.
It's
I think
the
you
planning
use...
part matters. You know, I really talk to people. I think we should. Years ago, I remember it was actually a product company that talked about this. But just because they were trying to sell you something doesn't mean it wasn't built on some true premises here, right? I'm big on ethical sales process, right? So I don't like it when somebody is trying to sell you and they're not telling you the whole picture. They were saying, "Hey, scare." Buy things from us and we'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not interested in doing it that way. But I can tell you the reality is that if you're 5 years or closer to retirement and you're not looking at the different strategic things that involve how you position your money and how you set up your distribution plan, I'm not saying you're going to blow yourself up. What I'm going to say is you may sacrifice efficiency.
Yeah.
Right. You could pay more in taxes or get less value for your dollars because you're just not being good with the strategy stuff. By the way, this isn't about investment returns anymore.
No.
Right. So many people, I think, misconstrue the idea that, well, I have this financial professional and their job is to outperform the markets as an investor. And I go, well, it's not just that's not the whole story, right? It's about making decisions that save you money on taxes. It's about putting you in a position where your money goes further for you. It's about avoiding unforced errors that are costly. Those are all intangibles that mistakes cost money.
Yeah.
Right. And so sometimes the mistake avoidance is every bit as valuable as market performance.
Right.
And that I think is the critical element here. And it's not that a financial advisor is smarter than the average person. It's that they're just much more likely to have encountered this before and be experienced with it and be able to help you navigate it.
Well, here's another interesting angle. This is something you've talked about before, and it's this, and this loops back to our prior show where we're talking about, like, if you're doing it yourself or if you're working with someone who's maybe not a fiduciary or whatever, and you just keep hearing the message, save, put the money in, never take it out. Right? Do you want to talk about this a little bit? Because I feel like it loops in perfectly to what you're talking about.
All right, we will. All right, we will. But here's the thing.
Sometimes it's okay to spend money or to get money out.
There's more to the story than Matt's telling you. When we do show prep, every now and then something comes up, and it's like he gets these little nuggets where I'm like complaining about something. And He's good. All right, I'll let you talk about me complaining, Matt. It's not really what
even,
you think.
I don't even think it's a complaint. I think it's just a really good point, right? Because how do people end up in this situation? Yeah.
Cynical observation. How about that? I have a little bit of a cynical observation, but it's one of those where, you know, it ain't lying if it's true. And there's some of that going on here. But I am looking at the clock. Let's do this. Let's grab our break here. We're at the midway point, so we'll do that. And when we come back, Matt, you can talk about your cynical boss. It'll
hey,
be great.
It's not cynical. It's how do we help you actually spend some money?
Okay. Maybe we're not even talking about the same thing. Matt is like, let's spend the money. But yeah, you know what? Sometimes
spend
that is the right
it.
Answer. We'll talk about that and more, but we got to take a break. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where today Matt and I are talking about IRAs. And if you're just joining us, you can get caught up. Go to grab the podcast. We have no idea about the live stream. We're having some internet connectivity issues and so forth. So we'll maybe it's streaming, maybe it's not. Difficult to say, given the scenario right now, but whatever. You've got the podcast. That's what we, you know, that's what we know and love. So we'll work with that. Matt,
yes.
At the break, I started to talk about, and I think you're going somewhere different than I was, believe it or not, because the cynical part of me, and you're just like, no, you got to spend. And I'm like, all right, you go where you're going with this show. I'm going to sit back and watch for a minute because I'm not sure what you're talking about, but this will be awesome. I was the cynic about like how the whole world is built to convince you that it's always time to invest and never time to sell. But remember,
well,
everybody that says that, they're like, well, that's how we get paid, right? So, well, great. So is that really the right advice or is that just you guys protecting your own interest?
Well, that's kind of where I was going with that.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
thanks for summing
that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just took a whole segment and crammed it into 15 seconds. Sweet!
Yeah, good job. That's the Spark Notes version. But, I mean, I guess the secondary point off of that is I think a lot of people, they work really hard and they accumulate, right? And they just, that's what they've been doing. And it sometimes comes from this mindset of like maybe, you know, growing up they were poor or something, right? And there wasn't resources. And so you kind of carry that with you. And it's one of those things where you always feel like you're on the fringe even when you're not. And so sometimes a financial advisor can just come alongside and say, you know what, it's okay. Let's go ahead and actually open up some spending. At this rate, you know, you're going to end up with $25 million by the time you die or something, right? So it's like, go ahead and go on the cruise. You haven't been on vacation in 10 years. Let's do this thing.
It's funny because I find that there are two primary personality types.
Okay.
When it comes to money. There are spenders and there are savers. And you have to tell them the opposite thing. The spender, you have to say, hey, you may want to consider a rainy day fund because, you know, what if it's not there someday?
Right.
And to the saver, it is, look, you're going to save this for somebody else at the rate you're going. I'd like to encourage you to enjoy some of it.
Yeah.
Right. And there's just two different things. You know who you are, right? If you're listening out there, you already know who you are. If you're a saver, you're like, yep, that's me. I just feel better when there's a, you know, I've got that cushion. I just need to have that reserve. And the question, though, is how many times have you been able to do something and not done it because you felt like the reserve was more important than the experience?
Hmm.
Right? And I think that's a real thing to consider. But then the flip side is, you spenders out there, and you know who you are, right? You guys are out there saying, treat yourself, right? I'm going to do this thing. And then later on, when it's time to actually pay the bill, you're like, oh, man, life sucks. This is no fair. And I'm like, what?
And
dude, I'd be like, you did this.
Is that where the chant starts of taxing the billionaire?
Well, you know, the easiest thing to do when you're mad is to blame shift somewhere else. And
yeah.
So, like, to the spender that's got an accountability problem, yeah, start with the mirror and assess your behaviors, right? And to the saver that has a spending problem, it's like, well, don't go make a bunch of friends with spenders. They'll be really good at spending your money. That's not what I'm going to suggest. But I will say, start with the mirror. Are we seeing a theme here?
Right.
And then figure out how much of what you're doing is rational versus how much of it is built on fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the problem with fear is that it's really hard when you're the one in it to be to have the perspective and step outside of it, right? The benefit of working with a pro in that case is that they are an outsider or a third party, right? So objectivity.
Right.
Right. We talk about this on the program a lot, too. The two things that differentiate the amateurs and the pros typically are training and objectivity. And so a surgeon can be really well trained, but we don't let them operate on their kids because they don't have objectivity. Right.
Yeah.
And a firefighter, they'll run into an unsafe building. Right. That's on fire and save lives. But they're trained to do it. Right. If you let somebody that was untrained in there, they'd just go in there and die, too. So it's about having the right tools and the right training and also having the right frame of reference.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not to say you can't do that. You can be a successful investor without working with the third party, but it requires the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Good point.
So anyway, that's just a little bit of a, and I'll beat that drum forever. I don't think I'll ever stop doing that we are our own worst enemy with a lot of our decisions.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was the whole spending one?
Well, that was some of it. I think one of the things that needs to maybe be mentioned, because we're talking about on this, episode, kind of like, what are some of these things that you might not have considered when it comes to a large IRA, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those is Medicare premiums. A lot of people don't know that your Medicare premium can be, higher if your income is higher. And so if RMDs kick on, right?
Yeah.
Medicare premiums can go up. That's one of the big things that a lot of people don't know until they start talking with a professional. So that's one. What are some of the other gotchas? I can think of,
they're all thematic.
Yeah. Right?
You realize the way we're unpacking the specific ones, mm-hmm. but if we took a step back and said, what do these all have in common? And what they all have in common is, hey, did you know that if your IRA gets really big and you hit required distribution age, those required distributions end up increasing your income. And higher income means higher taxes, and it makes other things more expensive. Your Social Security becomes taxable, right?
Right.
You may have IRMA, which is when your Medicare premiums are, they cost you more because you have a higher income level, right?
Right.
And so you can find yourself being pushed into the higher tax brackets
because
of the required distributions.
Here's another one. What about this? Say you're married, right? And one of the...
Oh, I know where he's going to go with this.
Oh, of course. Of course. What if someone passes away, right?
Oh, we're going to go there.
Yeah. I always have to bring the gloom and the doom,
oh
but I
gosh.
Do it with a smile. Can you hear the smile in my voice?
I do, and you probably don't hear the smile in mine. I'm like, oh, we're going to do this. All right, go on. I'm just going to shudder. Just do it.
Okay.
Just pull off the Band-Aid, Matt.
I'd be a good dentist. I'd just be ripping teeth out left and right. You didn't need that one, and you didn't need that one either.
That is a terrible dentist, by the way.
Well,
just a good tooth extractor.
Yes. Bring the pain.
This is supposed to save the teeth, not yank them out.
You know what? Just get it over with. Who needs a root canal when you can just pull it out and get it over with?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh, I'm in the weeds again. Look at that. No.
Okay, bring us home, Matt. Where are we at?
I was going to talk about what if there's two people and they both have an IRA, one passes away, and now you're filing as a single person, right? So that bracket shrunk down, your tax bracket is now smaller, but you're still required to take RMDs, right? And so you've got both accounts going, and it's like, well, the money still has to come out of the one account, even though that person's gone. And so now it's kind of like this silent tax. So that's just another one thing to think about, right?
Yeah.
And
if what Matt is talking about, and I think you're explaining it a lot without coming straight at what this is when you're single, your tax bracket is different than when you're married.
Yeah.
And so when you become single, you're married, and then you're not married because the person's gone, right? And I'm not diminishing the sadness factor of all this, but I'm saying the reality is that you will now be in a different tax bracket where the same amount of income will be at a higher tax because a single person pays a higher net tax than a married person at the same income level.
Yeah.
And so you had... The retirement plans didn't die, right? And so there's still required distribution. Now, it may be that there's a differential in age. Maybe your spouse was older than you and you're not 73 yet and they were, in which case you might be able to change the IRA to your name and defer it for a few more years, but it's still going to show up.
Yep.
And when it does, those required distributions are going to now be in a higher tax bracket than they were previously.
Yeah.
So that's what Matt's talking about, is there's kind of a marriage penalty, and that's sort of a silent sneaker that shows up, is, hey, if my household goes from 2 to 1, my tax bracket goes up.
Yeah. And I think, why are we bringing this all up, right? To kind of bring it back full circle.
You're pulling teeth, and I'm over here going, no, don't pull the teeth.
Well, we're pulling the teeth out so that you know what the consequences are if you do nothing, right? Like, if you just say, this is all too complicated, and it's just going to be what it's going to be. Prepare, you know, be prepared for me to come in with the pliers and start ripping teeth out. However, you can make a plan before it's too late, right? Like, especially if you're maybe in your 50s or 40s or wherever, and you're years out from retirement, it's not too early to try and get ahead of the thing.
So, all right, now we're going to get into, so it seems like so far on this show, we've talked a fair amount about
all the ways you can get burned. Now let's talk about the fire suit.
First IRAs, right? Like, yeah. Let's talk about IRAs or all these other retirement plans that oftentimes become IRAs because when you take over control. And the fact that, hey, too much of a good thing. If your IRA gets big enough, it might create an income problem where the very thing you were trying to do, which was try to shift my tax rate from a high rate today to a lower rate tomorrow, doesn't work out. Right? So
those are the big ones.
That's the biggie, right?
Yeah.
And there's no way around this, because if I don't spend it and I die, my heirs get it and they still have to pay the taxes.
Ooh, good point. We didn't talk about that yet. Like, this doesn't magically go away.
At this point, I'm just going to pour all the, like, lemon juice on the wound right now.
Oh, I have more lemon juice for you.
No. Okay, just do it. Well, right? let's just pour it out.
What about estate taxes? Say you're not handling your estate, right? And say you live in Oregon where you get $1 million of exemption.
Per person,
yeah.
Unless you do poor planning, and then you don't.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming you did poor planning, so now I'm pouring
on $1 million for the couple because you didn't properly structure
when
your estate.
You could have had
$1 million of exemption.
You could have called us and just said, hey, let's get a trust in place.
By the way, that is what's known as a $100,000 mistake right there.
Yeah, that's
right?
The big one.
That's a, clerically speaking, a few pieces of paper, right? And a few hours of work could have saved you $100,000 in estate taxes, but you just couldn't be troubled to look into it. And you know everything, right? Since you know everything. No, our listeners are not that person.
But they could have just picked up the phone and said, hey, Matt, let's get this trust thing taken care of. But no, instead you waited, and now I'm pulling your teeth out with pliers and no Novocaine.
And Matt is... I'm getting a sense that you want to try this, man.
Right?
I'm just not...
Give me 30 seconds. We'll get that puppy out.
Okay. He's an aggressive dentist. That might be why you went into finance instead of dentistry.
Yeah, you don't want me as your doctor.
That and the needles thing.
Yeah, no,
just,
I don't.
Like, dirty secret, Matt, not a fan of needles.
No, nope. That's an instant no. Nope. Yep.
Okay, so we've talked about all of the
that's all the
too
lemon
much
juice.
Of a good thing, right?
Right.
But I thought IRAs were good.
They can be great. They can be wonderful.
They can be great. They can be wonderful.
It's better to have it than to not have it, right?
Yeah, and there's something really interesting if you're a ways out from required distributions that we should talk about that might be, not guaranteed, but just might be an opportunity to save some taxes and to reposition things. And this is sort of low-hanging planning fruit. It might not be for everybody, but I want to share it with you. But you know what I'm going to do first?
You're going to just have me tell everything about it right now.
That is not what's going to happen. I'm going to make everybody hang on. We're going to take our last break, and then we're going to come back, and then you can tell everybody.
Okay, I'll wait. I'll be patient.
Guys, hang out. He's got some surprises for you. But I'll tell you what, the IRS is okay if you don't learn about this. That's why we got to talk about it. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And we'll be right back. You're listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where you're catching us at the end of the day, maybe a little bit rummy, but it's just in time for Matt to take over the entire show and explain how, what if you have an IRA, someday. Mm-hmm. You're building one, and you're so successful that it actually creates a tax problem where you're not in a lower tax bracket.
Right.
You've saved so much that it's either I'm going to pay a bunch in taxes, or my heirs are going to pay a bunch in taxes, and I'm staring down the pike, and I see required distributions, and I just see nothing but me funding government programs that I don't believe in. That last bit was a little bit of ad lib, but probably. Just a little too
solid.
Close to home for a lot of people.
Solid.
So, anyway, what could one possibly do with such a tragic scenario of successfully growing your IRA to the point that you have unsolved your tax savings?
A Roth conversion might make sense. Let me give you an example.
Let me give you disclosure. Might. That doesn't mean does automatically. Talk to your tax pro
right.
and figure this out individually. We're not offering advice now.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, say your income for the year is going to be maybe lower than it was in years past.
That phrase got really long. I'm not going to say it.
Okay. Well, you could be in a situation where maybe one person is not working and the other one is. And you had a joint income, two people working for a lot of years, someone stepped away. And now it's like, well, you know, our tax bracket might have gone from the 22% bracket down to the 12% bracket, right?
Possibly.
And so in that instance, you might be able to take a chunk of that IRA and then convert it over into a Roth IRA. You're going to pay taxes on it, right? Like, mm-hmm. let's not forget about that. You are going to pay taxes. But what if you can do it at a lower tax rate today and get that money into a vehicle, the Roth, and now it is growing for the rest of eternity tax-free for both you and now your kids can go ahead and get it as a Roth too. Whereas if you don't convert it, well, they're going to get it as a traditional IRA, and then they got 10 years mm-hmm. to get the money out. And what if they're high earners? Maybe they're losing 30-40% of it to taxes. Oh boy, Roth conversions can make a lot of sense. There's a lot of details there. I don't have time to get into all
totally
of it.
Totally fell asleep on that one.
Yeah.
No, Roth is awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, because once you're done paying the taxes, it does have to live for 5 years, right? That's kind of the caveat. You need to be over 59 and a half, and it has to have existed for 5 years after you convert.
Before you can get to it. You can convert it earlier than that.
You can convert it, right? And once you've paid the tax on your principal, you're pretty much good. But the gains that you have over the next 5 years could still be taxable until they're 5 years into the program.
And that works for each conversion.
Yeah, so if you do like 1 year, then the next year you do some more, it takes 5 years for the next conversion also. But what happens is it becomes tax-free. Not just to you, mm-hmm. it also becomes tax-free to your heirs if you don't spend it. But why? There's this one thing that's really relevant. Roth IRAs do not have required distributions.
Correct.
That's a big deal, right? Traditional IRAs, they force it out and make you pay the taxes. So what Matt is cleverly suggesting is, what if you have a few low-income years between retirement and the time that your required distributions start? It might be beneficial to convert some of your IRA from traditional to Roth, because what it does is it reduces your total tax liability over several years. And for those of you that are charitably inclined, or maybe you're tithing or something like that, there are some other more advanced strategies you can do where you may be potentially able to accelerate some of your giving and reduce income. Okay?
Right.
Now, there are lots of caveats to this, but as an example, you might be able to make a donation to a donor-advised fund that would wipe out a good portion, like I think as much as 50% of your income, that could drive your tax bracket way lower. And then you could convert Roth up to the difference. Now, if you're saying to yourself, why, you know, don't tithe that much, like that's okay, or whatever it is, giving, donating, however you do it. But you're more or less putting in a donation now, and then you trickle it out over the next couple of years from the donor advised fund to the organizations
to allow it to keep growing.
And what it did was it functioned as a useful tax strategy. And from where I sit, here's what it looks like to me. It looks like you were strategic about saying, I'm going to give some of this money away, but I can do it in a way that's going to reduce how much I give to the government and give more to who I want to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that to me seems like a pretty healthy strategy. So lower tax burden. I still give the money to the people that I wanted to give it to, and I position myself for a better long-term tax outlook and better planning flexibility ultimately. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, does one size fit all? No. But might this fit? Sure.
If it's stretchy enough.
Where? Yeah, could one size fit most? Maybe.
How much spandex count is in
that?
Yeah,
I don't think Roth conversions are like spandex.
Mm.
I think that is not the way I would compare them.
Oh,
so
my.
Anyway, if it's something that you are interested in learning a little bit more about, I would say send us an email, right? And we can develop more. We might make some educational videos about it. We could certainly get you resources. Or it may be something where, hey, I'd like to analyze it for my personal circumstance. You can email us at info@littlejohnfs.com.
Can they text us?
I don't know. Can they? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how do they text us, Matt?
541-375-0898. That's if you Google Little John Financial, that's going to be the phone number that pops up. Go ahead and text it.
Yeah. The office line is a textable line. So
yep.
You can do that. And if you do it in the middle of the night, somebody will get back to you the next day. We are real people with families and stuff. We do not police this thing 24 hours a day, but it often surprises me how quick we get back.
You don't wake up at 4 in the morning on an alarm to check it?
I do. I just don't answer it. I look at it and I get angry and then I go back to bed.
Good.
So, anyway, if you are looking for, you know, if you don't have an advisor in your world, you're welcome to give us a call, right? In the last few seconds, we've given you the email, info@littlejohnfs.com, 541-375-0898. Consults are free, right? And that's just because we want to make sure it's a good fit for everybody. So there's no pressure on this one. If you just need to kick the tires a little bit,
yeah,
go ahead and give us a call.
Cool.
All right. And with that, I look at the clock and I realize in the final seconds, I guess they're playing the music and they're going to kick us off. So I guess we'll sign off. Until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.